Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another little Saturday bite-sized political podcast. Thanks for downloading this, and my thanks to quantumhypno.co.uk, as always, for the kind sponsorship. And now I want to talk to you about the topic of why is it that the trans lobby is so powerful? It's a tiny percentage of the population, but it's massively powerful. Why might that be? And by way of evidence of this power, I wanted to reference, bring it to Northern Ireland here, just bear with me for a second, and reference Northern Ireland's health minister, a guy called Robin Swan. Now, Robin Swan, some of you might remember the name. He actually was the health minister during COVID tyranny times. He was the guy who locked us down. He was the one who came up with some of the most egregious restrictions on our liberty and freedom. But unlike the other parts of the UK, since those times, those health ministers that were in England, Scotland and Wales, they've all vanished and been replaced. No, Swan's back. Robin Swan is back in position. Yeah, being lauded for the wonderful job that he'd done. That's how evil the Stormont regime is. Absolutely evil to the core. But anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about something that he said. He said, quote, "I'd like to spend more money on NHS transgender services." The UUP health minister has lamented that he's not able to spend as much money as he wants on transgender services. He says he'd like to expand services and build capacity, but that would cost an additional $660,000 per year. But he faces very significant funding challenges. Swan made these comments in response to a written question by one of the Marxists here we have in the People Before Profit organization, a guy called Jerry Carroll, who said, "What plans does the minister have to provide inclusive and safe healthcare for transgender people?" So, look, a couple of things in this. First of all, we don't need any additional services for transgender people. We need to make sure that they get psychiatric help. That would be very good, and I think very wise, because these are people with serious mental issues, and we need to respect them, and we need to make sure that they get the psychiatric help that they require. And that's it, the end. We don't need to give them anything else. But in fact, of course, what we know here in Northern Ireland, there's a very strong lobby for example, ensuring that puberty blockers are still kept in place for anyone who thinks that they need them. And that could include teenagers. Don't underestimate just how demonically evil the political class in Northern Ireland are. It's just that for a couple of years, they were kept out of power and we got a slight breather from them. And now they're back in again. And at a time when, for example, waiting lists here for NHS waiting lists are horrendous. And, kids, even children are waiting for absolute ages to be able to see a doctor. The fact is that rather than provide children and adults with the necessary speed to access NHS services, instead, the minister would much rather develop transgender services. So the question is, why do so many politicians think it's important to provide additional facilities for transgender people? Because you see, I don't think there's any such thing as transgender people. Nobody can change gender, so nobody can transit. That's the first thing. That's impossible because of the fact that biologically we are anchored into the gender we have at birth until our time of death. That's it. We don't change. People say, oh yes, but with surgery and with puberty blockers and with all the rest of it, we can look so much like the contradictory gender. Yeah, perhaps you can, but at heart and DNA point of view, from your chromosomes point of view, you're still the same. You don't transit. So there is no transgender people. There are just people who've got serious cognitive dissonance. But I don't think that the way you deal with cognitive dissonance is to facilitate it and indulge it and to fund it. That's not what you do. What you do with cognitive dissonance is you deal with it from the point of view of mental health. And that really is the solution to the whole so-called trans issue. It's a recognition that there are people with mental health issues, and that these mental health issues have been indulged, remarkably so, like on a scale historically without precedent, and continues to be. And now, of course, we're told it's a perfectly valid choice to be transgender. That's really like saying it's a perfectly balanced choice to have mental illness. But it's not by definition. It can't ever be a balanced choice to be mentally unwell, can it? Are we saying mental illness? Yeah, it's fine. No problems. Well, there is problems with it. And that's why, as I say, the likes of Swan and all these rest of these clowns who pander and genuflect to this lobby are doing the vast majority of people with other actually real medical requirements a great and grave disservice. But then we know Swan for the little tyrant that he was, and it is to our shame that they've all applauded him and brought him back once again to do his master's bidding. And I wonder who his master might be.